We all confess and admit that we deserved, many people don't like to say it, but we deserved hell. But you've given us heaven. You are a good God. And dear Lord, because of your goodness that you show to us every day, we by your power, by your spirit, we want to live a life that would bring you glory and honor. We want to go tell others about you. We want to be salt and light. We want to make a difference in our homes, in our neighborhoods, on our jobs, in our church, wherever we are. We want to make a difference for you. We want to tell people, look at what the Lord has done for me. He saved my soul. He delivered me. He provides for me. He watches over me. He protects me. He's my bulwark. He's my shield. He's my very present help in a time of trouble. So we thank you, dear God, for being all of those things. Thank you for being our provider, our healer. Thank you today that our brother Griggs is with us and Sister Hardaway is back with us. And we thank you for others. Sister Hudson had been out for a while. We thank you, dear God, how you have brought us even here this morning to worship and praise you. And we bow before your holiness, dear God. Father, now indeed it's preaching time, dear God. Pray that you would speak to my heart and mind. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Use this weak vessel, dear God, to proclaim your excellent truth. We thank you, dear God, that your word indeed is sharper than a two-edged sword. We know that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will endure forever. So the words that we're going to speak this morning, your word, dear God, it's eternal. It's perfect. It's infallible. So we thank you for your written word. Thank you for this armor you have given us, dear God, out of Ephesians chapter 6. Today, dear God, give us all the shield of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand just for a moment as I read Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 10 down through verse 16. As we continue this series on spiritual warfare, we are in a war. We're in a battle, and it's like a fixed fight, though. We know who is the winner. We know who wins in the end. We know Christ is victorious, but we want to walk victoriously each and every day in our lives. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on, somebody say put on. Put on the whole armor or the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up, somebody say take up. Take up the whole armor, the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let me read verse 16 again. That's our bank verse for this morning. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the devil, of our enemy. Before you take your seat, I'm going to preach this simple thought this morning. Faith, finally, after I've trusted him. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, finally, after I've trusted him. You may be seated. Faith, finally, after I've trusted him. Faith, finally, after I've trusted him. Faith, finally, after I've trusted him. A few years ago, I was I just flipping through the cable channel sometime, and I caught this movie. I don't even know what the title of the movie was. But one scene in the movie was a very interesting scene. This guy began to get hit and kicked, but he couldn't see anybody hitting him or kicking him. He was just feeling the punches and he's feeling the kicks. And then it sort of dawned on him, somebody's hitting me, somebody's fighting me, but I can't even see them. I'm fighting an invisible person. So at first, of course, he was losing. But then he somehow messed around, and you know, it's a movie now. He somehow messed around and grabbed the invisible person and wrestled him down. So therefore, the person who was visible ended up beating up the invisible enemy. So it is with you and I, saints. You and I, as we walk this Christian walk, oftentimes we are getting hit and sucker punched by an invisible foe. Somebody that we cannot tangibly see. The Bible just said it. I just read it. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principality. We fight against powers. We fight against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We fight against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So you and I physically here on earth, we're fighting in a sense a spiritual battle. Sure, our enemy, the devil, sure, he oftentimes uses other people. Sure, he oftentimes uses a system. Matter of fact, we have this world system that God has allowed Satan, the enemy, the devil, to comprise and come up with. So certain things you can tangibly see. But many of the things that we fight against, we just cannot see. So we got to fight. We got to fight. We got to fight. Since it's a spiritual war, we got to fight with spiritual weaponry. We got to fight with prayer. We got to fight using prayer. We got to fight. Matter of fact, that's the last thing in Ephesians 6 that we'll get to in a couple more weeks. We got to fight using the word of God. We got to use this spiritual armor that God has been giving us the last few weeks. He's told us to gird our waist up with the belt of truth. He told us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. He's told us to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's told us to do those good things. And you know, as we do those things, he's told us in this verse, he said, above all, take up the shield of faith. Because, you know, the shield of faith, finally, after I've trusted him, faith is actually what kind of holds all the armor together. See, when I talk about, you know, the belt of truth, I got to have faith. I got to trust that the truth that I'm reading, I got to have faith and trust that the truth is really the truth. I got to have faith that this is God's word. I got to have faith that, hey, I got on a breastplate of righteousness, but I got to have faith or trust in God. I got to have faith that, hey, I can live righteously. Oh, don't get quiet on me right there. I can live righteously. I can live holy. I got to have faith in that. I got to have faith that when I put my shoes on, I've shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I got to have faith that the gospel is the good news. I got to have faith that God indeed sent his son, Jesus Christ. The gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, God's only son, provides eternal life. I got to have faith that the gospel does give me peace with God. I got to have faith that as I walk with the gospel of peace, that I can not only have the peace with God, I've been reconciled to God, but I got to have by faith that I can have the peace of God. I don't have to be stressed out all the time. I don't have to be full of anxiety. I don't have to be staying up all night long. I can have the peace of God. I got faith that God is going to work that thing out. Whatever that thing is. I got to have faith. Finally, after I've trusted him, I got to have faith that indeed the enemy, the devil who's sneaky when he comes against me, that because of God, because of Christ, because of the word of God, that I can be victorious over his various schemes. I got to have faith that is and that will happen. After all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to put out the fiery darts, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the devil. The faith, the shield of faith. Now, what type of shield was this? You know, this armor that God has given us here in Ephesians 6. It's written in such a way that it's talking about the Roman soldier. And so it would be good imagery for those then and even for us now. This shield of faith. There were two types of shields that the Roman soldier carried. One of them was a very little small shield that he often had on his arm. But most commentators, most theologians agree that the shield of faith in this verse, in verse 16, is a large shield.
This seal was some 4.5 feet tall. And that's a big seal. Some 4.5 feet tall, some 2.5 feet wide. That was a big seal. And the Roman soldier used that seal to basically protect his whole body. It was very important in warfare because the soldier, when they went into warfare, another thing about this large shield, it was made in such a way that it really could connect to other shields. So oftentimes they would march together, 10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000 deep almost, and they could just connect their shields together, and that gave great protection for all of them. The enemy would shoot flaming arrows at them. And so if you didn't have a shield, guess what? As we used to say back in the day, you were just toast. It was over. It was gone for you. You were dead. It was over. If you didn't have a shield, if an arrow is coming at you, especially if it had fire on it, you're going to be killed. I mean, you needed that shield. So a Roman soldier needed that big shield to carry into battle, carry into war, right? Well, last week, Pastor Denzel Jack from Jamaica, he asked us, are you a good soldier? Are we good soldiers? So we are good soldiers, right? I said, we are good soldiers, right? We in the Lord's army, right? But we need our shield. We need the shield of faith. Because if you don't have the shield of faith, anything that the devil whispers to you, anything that the devil shoots towards you, if you don't have your shield of faith, you will believe the lie of the enemy. Don't be like Adam and Eve. Don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie of the enemy. But for you and I not to buy the lie, not to believe the lie, you need your shield of faith. Finally, after I've trusted him. Faith. Faith is, if you're taking notes, faith is just simply trusting God. It's simply trusting God, trusting him, and trusting him at his word, trusting his promises. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. Let me repeat that. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. I got faith that I'm going to believe in the whole canon of scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, if God has said it, it's going to come to pass. His record is impeccable. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, he prophesied a lot about what Jesus was going to, how the Savior was going to come. He talked about where Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. Guess what? He was born in Bethlehem. Talked about how he was going to be born of a virgin, Mary. Guess what? He was born of a virgin. The Old Testament talked. Hundreds of years before it happened, in the Old Testament, God promised us, well, once he's born, he's going to have to flee into Egypt. Guess what? He had to flee into Egypt. I'm just saying, God's word, we can trust, we can have faith, we can trust God at his word. If he said it, it's going to come to pass. If he's made a promise to you, he's going to keep it. He's a covenant keeping, a promise keeping God. But you got to hold on to your seal of faith. You got to believe it. You got to trust that. You got to believe in what God has said. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, I've never seen God visually. I've never seen God physically. But guess what? I know that he exists. I know that he is. Matter of fact, I know that he exists just as much or more than I know that you all exist and are sitting out here this morning. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11 also said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Beloved, you got to believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you seek the Lord, I promise you, you can find him. If you diligently seek him, I promise you, he's not going to say, well, I don't have time for you today. No, the Lord always has time for us. Matter of fact, the Lord said, I'm knocking on your heart even right now. Revelation 3, if you just open up the door, I'm going to come into you and sup with you and dine with you and hang out with you and abide with you and be with you. The Lord says, seek me and you will find me. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is simply just trusting God at his word. Trusting God that if he said it, it's going to come to pass. The shield of faith. See, you got to have faith. You got to hold on to God's promises. You can't be like, don't be like, once again, like Adam and Eve. See, the devil, he's going to come in and say stuff like he said to Eve. He's going to say like, did God truly say that? Did God really mean that? Did God truly say that? The devil, he's going to shoot those fiery darts of doubt in your heart in my heart, your mind in my mind. I've heard people often say, well, you can't even really trust the Bible. You know, the Bible was written, you know, thousands of years ago. You know, man wrote it down and man has changed it over the years. Now, the devil is a lie. This is the word of God. Yeah, God spoke it. Men wrote down what God told them to write down. And my God, the God I serve, he's big enough and bad enough that he can keep it pure over the years. He can keep it pure over the years. Man or the devil can't mess up God's word. But the devil, he tries to shoot these little lies. He has this arrow, these darts that he's shooting at you and me. So you got to keep up the shield of faith. He shoots the arrow of blasphemous thoughts toward you and me. He shoots arrows of lustful thoughts. He shoots arrows of envious thoughts. He shoots arrows of hateful thoughts about other people. He shoots these arrows. He shoots arrows of doubt and fear that come toward you and me. He shoots arrows of burning desires for sin. See, and if the child of God, by faith, don't quench those darts or arrows, these darts, these arrows that the devil is shooting at you and me, they're going to light a fire within you or me that will end up causing you to disobey God, causing you to sin. That's why you got to pull up the shield of faith. Can I give you a few examples? I don't think y'all getting this. I'm going to give you a few examples, I believe, of these arrows that the devil shoots at you and me. You might be feeling all down and depressed and say, man, woe is me. And Satan shoots an arrow like, see, look at you now. Look at you. God didn't really care about you. God, look how down and depressed you are. God don't care about you. You got to say, wait a minute. Shield of faith. Here it is. Shield of faith. God does care about me. God loves me. Matter of fact, he showed me his love by sending his son Jesus into this world to die for me. And not only that, he sent his Holy Spirit into this world to, we just sang about it, to live inside of me. So the Lord does care about me. You got to keep up the shield of faith. Another thing, you might say, wait a minute. You're kind of down and you may be suffering from low self-esteem. The arrow that the devil is shooting at you is low self-esteem. You look in the mirror and you're thinking, man, I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too black. I'm too light. I'm too whatever. Now you got to get away, man. Shield of faith. Wait a minute. God has told me I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And God don't make no junk. So what? My nose might be shaped a little funny. My hair might be a little nappy every now and then. But God made me and God don't make no junk. The devil, he tries to shoot stuff at you. He shoots stuff at you. He might say, look at you. You down. You defeated. You got to say, wait a minute. The shield of faith. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I'm not defeated. I might be down for a moment, but I'm not defeated. You might mess up. You might, you've sinned. You've gotten off track. You maybe said something you should not have said, thought something you shouldn't have been thinking. You got off track. And the devil said, just give up. Just throw in the towel. You know, God, just throw in the towel. You done messed up. You guys say, wait a minute. Shield of faith. I know the one who has begun a good work in me. He's able to complete it. And then you might think of an example. Say, wait a minute. A guy like Peter, he blew it three times. He denied Christ three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. Once, twice, three times a lady, Commodores, back in 1977. Lest I digress for a moment. Hey, I told you I'm glad I met the Lord. He put me out. I'm a 70s and 80s man. But now Peter denied the Lord three times. Three times. And I can see the devil shooting the arrow at him and say, well, Peter, you done messed up now. You done blown it. Just go on back and fishing. Just leave. Just go on. Just blow it. But no, the Bible says Peter took up the shield of faith. And Peter went out and repented and wept bitterly. And then on the day of Pentecost, our God of restoration, Jesus used him to preach. And then Peter preached and 3,000 souls got saved. You got to take up the shield of faith. Finally, after I've trusted him. You got to believe what God says about you and the situation rather than what the flesh or the enemy or the devil says about you or the situation. He shoots these little arrows of sexual perversion. He might try to say, well, homosexuality is okay. You've heard people say, well, you know, I was born this way. Or he might shoot an arrow of sexual perversion of premarital sex. You know what people say. Well, you know, everybody else is doing it. Number one, everybody ain't doing it. Number one. Might be a high percentage that are doing it, but everybody's not doing it. He might shoot the arrow of pornography or whatever. You got to say, wait a minute, I'm going to take up the shield of faith. The Lord says, I need to live a life of sexual purity. See how quiet y'all got right there? See how quiet you got? The devil might shoot an arrow of, watch this, the arrow of, this is a tough one, all of them are tough, of suicide. You got to say, wait a minute, the shield of faith. Finally, after I've trusted him, God told me, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit murder. So that goes for me too. I can't kill myself. No, devil, take that suicidal thought away. I don't know about you all, but sometimes I'm just driving my car, and just out of nowhere, a crazy thought comes and says, just drive your car off the road. Am I the only one that had thoughts? I'm like, where did that come from? The devil is alive, Brother Visa. I ain't driving my car off the road. Things might be bad, but they ain't that bad. These arrows. Y'all ever get in those crazy arrows? Just arrows shooting at all kind of crazy stuff, all kind of crazy thoughts. The Bible says take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You guys say, wait a minute, that thought wasn't from God. That thought wasn't from the Lord. I don't know where that thought came from. Faith. So beloved, the devil might try to shoot that arrow saying, so you, God doesn't love you. God doesn't really love you. You got to say, wait a minute. Romans, the shield of faith, Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Then you got to say, wait a minute. First 38 says of Romans 8, for I am persuaded. I am convinced. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Sound like some of those things we're fighting against in Ephesians 6. None of those things, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You gotta say, wait a minute, devil, you gotta come harder than that. I know God loves me. You might even have to go John 3:16 and 3:17 and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, I'm glad I'm one of those whosoever, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. For God didn't send his son, verse 17, into the world to judge or to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. So, you can't make me doubt that God doesn't love me. I might not know why I'm going through this or that, but I know that Jesus loves me. I know that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible. That's some childhood theology, but that's good theology. For the Bible tells me so. So he's shooting those arrows, beloved, at you and at me. The devil, he's the wicked one. He's shooting those arrows. But verse 16 says, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench or to extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the devil, of our enemy. So probably you all are realizing, seeing the importance of taking up the shield of faith. Somebody then might be asking, well, how do I take up this shield of faith? How do I keep it up on a regular basis? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Are there any Bible readers in the house? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You take up the shield of faith, beloved, by reading the word of God. You take up the shield of faith by hearing the preached word of God. You take up the shield of faith by meditating in and on the word of God, the promises of God. Once again, if God has said it, if it's in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, if he said it, you can trust him at it. You can hold on to it. You can hold on to it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to hold on to the promises of God. If God said it, once again, you got to say, I'm going to believe it. The shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. You need to uncover the lies from the devil that you have believed. And you uncover those lies by the truth of Scripture, by the promises of God. You got to ask yourself, what have I believed that is not biblical? Check it out. I'm going to give you a couple of easy ones. Check it out. You take one step, and God will take two. Y'all ever heard that? That's an arrow from the devil. The devil is like, you take one step and God will take two. No, 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 beloved, really, we can't even take one step unless God grabs and helps us to take that one step. And it's not like God said, okay, now if you take one step, then I'll take. It's more like God taking about a million steps and we take one or two steps. Here's another, just a little simple, easy one, stuff that we hear over the years that you know, sounds okay, but it's not really biblical. God only helps those who helps themselves. That's one of the biggest lies. I can go back into 1992 when I really first met Lord my Lord in a saving way. I wasn't trying to help myself back then. Go back to when you really first met the Lord. You weren't really trying to help. You might have cried out because of all of the mess that was going on in your life, but you weren't really, and even enabled, you weren't even able enough to really help yourself. You and I can't help ourselves until the Lord himself comes to live inside of us. Then, after salvation, then you and I can, we have some human responsibilities and stuff that we can do and we should be doing, right? But prior to our encounter with Christ, prior to being saved, prior to our theophany, we can't help ourselves. I've shared this with y'all before. One time I was in college, you know, I was doing some stuff I knew I shouldn't have been doing. And I remember praying, and I said this, and I wasn't a Christian yet. I said, Lord, I'm gonna quit doing this, that, and I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna do this, and you know what? I did for about one week. And then I was back doing some other all the crazy stuff I shouldn't have been doing. It wasn't until God himself, it wasn't until Jesus himself came and arrested my soul. It wasn't until the Lord himself came and grabbed me. Then could I live for him. So don't believe that stuff where, yeah, you know, God only helps those who help themselves. No, the Lord, Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. God comes and get those of us who are down and out, if you will. Those of us who know, none of us can make ourselves be born again. We cry out to God, but it's God who performs the spiritual surgery. It's God who takes the, what is that machine called when you flatline and they, what is that machine? Resuscitator. Defibrillator, there you go, defibrillator, there you go. We had flatlined spiritually. We had flatlined spiritually, but God himself, Jesus himself, came with his defibrillator and poof, brought us back to life. Brought us back to life. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. So you and I, as we walk this Christian walk, we can't buy the lie. We can't believe the lie of the enemy. Whatever that lie is, and it may sound rational. It may sound good. I'm sure, once again, going back to Genesis 3, it sounded pretty good to Eve when she was in the garden and Satan eased on up there, the serpent, and fooled her. I'm sure it sounded pretty good. But now we gotta make sure that we don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie. It's going to be on the screen. Habakkuk Chapter 2, verse 4, as we're talking about taking up the shield of faith, taking up the shield of faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And there is the devil, our enemy, you know, he hassles us. He's going to hassle us until we die. You know, this fight is every day. You know, you get to a certain level of spirit and say, well, yeah, I'm okay. No, you gotta be careful. When you, like the Bible said, they who stand, take heed, Galatians 6, lest they fall. The devil, he's on his little stuff. But Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. The just shall live by faith. Finally, after I've trusted him. I'm going to give you a couple of biblical examples of faith, how people exercise their faith in the scriptures and how we can emulate them. We can imitate them. And then I'm going to be out of your hair. I'm going to let you go. You all know a few of these accounts as well. I've preached some of these in the past, but this is just about how we can make this practical to our everyday life, how we do need the shield of faith and how people in the Word of God used faith and came to Christ and their lives were transformed. You all remember the guy that was paralyzed, you know, the guy that his four friends had him. That's over in Matthew 9 and Mark 2. His four friends had him. He was paralyzed. They said, if we got faith, if we can just get him to Jesus, We hear that the healer is in town and he's been giving sight to the blind and allowing the lame to walk and even raising folks from the dead. If we could just get him to Jesus. And they get to the house, of course, and the house is packed out. They could not get in the house. So they went up on top of the house. They tore a hole in the roof and let the man down. And this is what Jesus said. After they brought the paralyzed man lying on a bed to Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralyzed man, take courage, your sins are forgiven you. Oh, that's a good place to shout. Jesus said, take courage, your sins are forgiven you. Of course, the religious leaders, they were murmuring, talking about, who is this? They're talking about he can forgive sins. Who is it? Nobody can forgive sin but God. And Jesus heard him. Jesus said, what is harder, to forgive his sin or to make him walk? And Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And the paralyzed man, the man who was paralyzed, got his bed and walked on up out of there. He got two for the price of one. He got a spiritual healing and a physical healing all in one. So those four friends and that paralyzed man, they had faith in Christ. See, let me say this parenthetically, kind of back it up a little bit. You can't just have faith in faith. You got to have, it's really, who is the object of your faith? You got to have faith in God. You got to have faith in Jesus. You got to have a faith in the Word of God. See, if you don't have the correct object of your faith, you can have big and strong faith in a certain person, but that person might still let you down. But you can just have a little bit of faith. I'm in the Bible. I'm going to read it in a minute. You can just have a little bit of faith in Jesus, a little bit of faith in God, and then you can do some amazing things because he's the object of your faith. Y'all remember the lady with the issue of blood out of Matthew 9, the lady with the issue of blood, 12 years with the issue of blood. And she had been to doctors, had spent all of her money, and I'm sure she had gone to other things trying to get healed and hadn't been healed. But she had faith. She said, if I can just get to Jesus. As a matter of fact, he's a popular man. He's people all around him. I might even can't get to him, but if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get close enough to just touch his clothes. And the Bible said she touched his clothes. And people all around Jesus bumping into him. And Jesus said, who touched me? Jesus said, who touched me? And I can see Peter and other guys, like, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody bumping into you. Everybody touching you. Now Jesus, no, somebody touched me. I felt power. I felt virtue go out. Somebody touched me. And he looked back and saw this lady. And he saw this lady. And he told this lady, he said, take courage. Your faith. Oh, let me just pause there for a moment. He said, your faith in me, your faith in Jesus, your faith has made you well. At once, the woman was made well. This lady had an issue. She met Jesus. She had faith in Jesus, and Jesus made her well. What's your issue this morning? What's your situation this morning? What's your issue this morning? Just get to Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus. Just touch the hem of his garment, and Jesus said, your faith has made you well. This lady had faith. She had the shield of faith. These four guys and this paralyzed man, they had faith. Luke 17:5, you might want to write this down. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's a good prayer request. Lord, increase or strengthen my faith. Kind of like the man who had the demon-possessed son who kept falling all into the water and stuff and falling into the fire, and he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus said, basically, do you believe I can heal him? And the man said, Lord, I believe, or I got faith. I believe, but help my unbelief. The guy said, Lord, I got faith, but strengthen my faith. Increase my faith. I got faith that can handle a certain little thing, but Lord, you need to increase my faith. Luke 22:31-32 says, the Lord said to Simon, talking about Peter, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. The devil, the enemy, has asked for you, Simon, that he may sift you like wheat. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Let me pause there for a minute. That's Jesus. Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Simon. I've prayed for you, Peter. Even though the devil wants to sift you like wheat, I have prayed for you. Watch this. What did he pray? He prayed. He said, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Oh, this faith is a very important thing, beloved. You can be saved, born again, but if you're walking in feeble or don't really have faith, you're not going to be able to do much. You're not going to live too victorious in this Christian walk. The Lord is not going to be able to do much with you or me if we don't have faith. Jesus, I pray for you, Peter, your faith may not fail. And then he went on to say, and when you have turned again, go strengthen your brothers. faith. This faith is very important. The shield of faith. You got to believe what God has said about you and about the people of God. You got to believe what God has said. Look at Acts 3. Don't turn there, but Acts 3, Peter and John, they had healed this guy who was lame. I hear one guy, tired of a guy's sermon, Peter and John, you know, this guy was by the temple and he was asking for alms, asking for money. And he said, silver and gold, we have none. But what we do have, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, walk. And he got up and walked. And this guy, his title was Two Broke Preachers. Peter just said, silver and gold, we don't have none. But what we do have, said, two broke preachers. But Peter and John, they were telling that account a little later on in Acts chapter 3. And this is what they were saying. Listen to what they said. They said, hey, look. They said, look, this man is walking by the basis of his faith. His faith in the name of Jesus has strengthened this man whom you now see. And his faith comes through Christ was given to him to perfect his health in the presence of you all. This faith, this crippled man in Acts 3, his faith in Christ, he was healed. Once again, Paul giving his testimony before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he talks about faith. Because there are different types of faith. There's a saving faith that brings us into the presence of the Lord and we get born again. There's a faith that we can walk every day and walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. But he's talking about saving faith in this verse. And he says that this is Jesus actually talking. Jesus said, I'm going to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. Let me read that again. Somebody missed that. That's Acts 16, Acts 26, 18, brother. Jesus said, I'm gonna turn them from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. That's what Jesus says. Here it is, saints. We're saved by faith. By faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. We're saved by putting our faith in Christ. Think about it. That's a big thing. I trust or have faith that when I die, that there are two places you can go. One is heaven and one is hell. And I got faith in Christ and faith in the word of God. And since I've given my life to him, since I've repented of my sins and turned to Christ and Christ alone, I got faith that finally after I've trusted him, that when I leave here, I'm going to heaven forevermore. That's strong faith. And if I can believe him for that, and I do, I can surely believe him that he's going to get me through today. I can surely believe he's going to get me through tomorrow. I can surely believe he's going to get me through next week or next month. I got faith that he who has begun a good work in me, he's able to complete it. I say he's able to complete it. Faith. Finally, after I've trusted him. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I got a few more verses and I'll let you go. Says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, or everyone who has faith, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. We walk by faith, saints, and not by sight. I said we walk by faith and not by sight. A lot of times the things I see or read or hear, a lot of times don't make much sense to me. So you got to have faith in Christ that God, once again, is in control of everything. That he's sovereign, that he's large and in charge. I'm just going to say this. I don't want you to talk about politics too much. I'm just going to say this real quickly and move on. First of all, let me say this. When I look at both candidates, I'm like, man, is there a box that I can check? None of the above. And I'm going to leave that alone. But I had to say this about Trump. When he started running, once again, walking by faith, not by sight, it baffles me that I just didn't think he quite get this far in the race. I didn't think he kind of get this far in the race. That's why we need to pray. We need to pray, God, whoever he puts in office, Hillary or Trump, whoever he puts in order, in office, guess what? I still got faith that God going to work everything all right. So you got some people that are Republicans, and when a Republican get in there, they say, oh, everything's going to be great. No. Then you got other people that are Democrats, and when they're Democrat get in there, oh, everything's going to be, I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican, whatever. It's still going to be kind of messed up in a sense here on earth, but I'm going to look to the King Jesus. I'm going to look to God. I got faith. I'm going to pray for whoever's in the office. I got faith. He's going to work all that thing out. I got to say this. We'll edit this out of the CD, maybe. I got to say this about a lot of our good Anglo brothers. A lot of them get super tied to the Republican Party. I mean, super tied to the Republican Party. And so much so that I remember back some years ago when Clinton got in office, a lot of our Christian brothers, white Christian brothers, they were like, it's the end of the world. I had to kind of joke when I said, wait a minute, man, I don't put my faith in Clinton or Bush or whoever. It's not the end of the world just because a Democrat is in office. Just like it's not the end of the world if a Republican is in office. Don't tie yourself that tightly to some man-made political group. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to move on. I've stayed on that long and I want to stay on that. But trust in the Lord. I don't really trust any of them, really. I don't trust the Democrats. I don't trust the Republicans. I trust Jesus. I said, God, help me to vote for whichever one I should vote for. And I'm going to leave that alone. Faith in the Lord. Finally, after I've trusted him. I said I was going to leave it alone. I got to say this one more time. I got to go back. 8 years ago, I'm a black man. I'm black. So I was glad when President Obama got in office. But I wasn't confused. I didn't think he was going to necessarily liberate all of the black folks. And to be quite honest, quite frankly, toward the end, he's done a lot of stuff legislation-wise that I hadn't really approved of at all. So they can be black, they can be white, they can be Republican, they can be Democrat, they can be what. They're going to all let us down every now and then. That's why we need to pray for them, and don't put our hope and trust in any of them, really. Our hope and trust goes to Christ, goes to God, and God alone. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, be it Democrat, Republican, what, all other ground is sinking sand. I stand on Christ, the solid rock I stand. Christ, the solid rock I stand. Now we need to go vote. You need to go pray and vote, but don't get too tied up with any of you. Stand on Christ. He's our key. And it's God who allows it, whoever in office anyway. Sometimes we might say, well, Lord, I don't know why you let her in there, but, Amen. That's my political speech for the season. Stick with Christ. Have faith in God. Have faith in the Lord. He's going to work this thing out. I said, he's going to work this thing out. The shield of faith. You might be feeling down and depressed and lonely. You got to, Genesis 28:15 says, behold, I am with you. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I know that's one of the beauties of Christian fellowship. I know sometimes it does get lonely sometimes, but even if you feel all alone, everybody's with you now, you got to remember the Lord is with me. God is with me. Jesus is with me. Paul did that one time. He said everybody forsook him. He was in jail. I've recounted this before. He was in jail. He said everybody left me. Everybody forsake me. He said none stood with me. Then it was a but. He said, but the Lord stood with me. But the Lord stood with you. Shield of faith. You got to always say, man, I'm on this job. And like everybody's against me. They trying to, my manager trying to, trying to dig ditches for me. My coworker trying to, the person I supervise trying to dig ditches for me. Everybody trying to get me. Guys, wait a minute. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Matthew 17:20. Jesus said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, talking about the littleness of your faith now. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed known to man. Jesus said, that's Matthew 17:20. He said, if you got faith just the size of a mustard seed, faith in him, faith in Christ. He said, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Oh, those are the words of Jesus. Jesus, if you just got a, Brother Rick, if you just got a little bit of faith in him, a little bit of faith, Brother Sid, in Jesus, he said, you say, mountain be moved, and it'll move from here to there. And then he said, nothing would be impossible to you. Beloved, I don't know what your mountains are this morning. I don't know what things are plaguing you or hindering you or blocking you this morning. But I'm saying, if you got a little bit of faith, in a big old God, if you got a little bit of faith in a large Christ, you can say to that mountain, say to that circumstance, be moved. And Jesus said, it will move. Jesus said, nothing will be impossible with you if you got that faith in him. So you now need to put total faith and trust in Christ. I'm going to end with Hebrews 11. Just once again, I want to stress the importance, beloved, in this spiritual battle that we're in as we put on the full armor of God, as we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, as we put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. We got to have faith. We got to have faith that these things are going to work out the way the Lord said they're supposed to work out. By faith, in Hebrews 11:2, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. See, that's by faith, saints. I wasn't here several thousands of years ago when everything came into existence. But by faith, you and I believe we are creationalists. We believe that God just spoke everything into existence. Said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, that's a shield of faith. If I can believe that, and I do, if I have faith in that, and I do, I don't have to worry about other little stuff. Like, I don't have to worry about global warming. Because God created everything. He got everything. If he wants it to get warmer, he'll let it get warmer. If he wants it to be cool, he'll let it be cool. But by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch, verse 5 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, this brother Enoch walked so closely with God that he walked so close with God. They were walking together one day and God said, well, you closer to my house than your house. Just come on up here with me. And Enoch never died. He was one of those raptured saints. That's going to happen to us if Christ comes back right now. We won't experience death. God, oftentimes, he does something that he, like a big truth, like rapture. We believe that when Christ comes back, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us that are alive will be caught up. God, he's given us a sneak peek of that already in the scripture. Enoch did it, and Elijah did it. Elijah never died. Elijah never died. It's not too hard for God. He can take us on to heaven and get around death. That's not too hard for God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. By faith, prepared an ark. It had never rained. It had never rained. And God said, Noah, it's going to rain. Build an ark. Brother Noah started building an ark, and he said, oh, by the way, what is rain? What is rain? It had never rained. But by faith, Noah built an ark, and through that ark, God saved Noah and his three sons and their three wives and his wife. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place with which he would receive an inheritance. And Abraham went out, listen, not knowing where he was going. God just said, Abraham, go. And Abraham said, okay, I'm going. By the way, where am I going? What do I need to put in my GPS? I don't. Where am I going? God said, just keep on going. By faith, Abraham dwelt in the land and promised as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he waited, Abraham did. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the childbearing age by faith, because she judged God to be faithful who had promised it. Therefore, from one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead, y'all can work with that on the way home, him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. By faith, Sarah and Abraham had a child. By faith. I'm just trying to tell you what faith does for us. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, Isaac, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Abraham concluded that God was able to even raise Isaac up from the dead. I said, he was able. He said, God is able. I don't know how you're going to do this, God, but I got faith. I'm going to take Isaac, and I'm going to slay him. But and if I slay him, you can raise him up by faith. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. That's before they, a couple hundred years before they went out. And he gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith. And Joseph was like, hey, I'm dying here in Egypt now. And I'm about to die, but we're not going to be here forever. So when we come out, when God brings us out, take my bones to the promised land. By faith. By faith, Moses, who was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured the seeing God who is invisible. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he would destroy the firstborn amongst them. By faith, they passed through on the Red Sea as dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do the same thing, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho, I'm about through. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab, the prostitute Rahab, she did not perish with those who did not believe. God saved her by her faith. By faith. And what more, Hebrews 11 says, time will not permit me to tell you about Gideon, about Barak, about Samson, about David, about Samuel, about those who through faith, they subdued kingdoms through faith in God, faith in Christ. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. You all know about Daniel in the lion's den. And watch this, they quenched the violence of fire. Y'all know about the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace? They escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness. They were made strong. They became valiant in battle, turned to flight, the armies of the aliens. All of that by faith. And all these things through faith. Now watch this. That's just in the Bible. I could take a microphone and go around the congregation this morning. I'm sure all of us got our own faith testimonies who by faith God has saved our souls. By faith he has delivered us. By faith he's brought us through. By faith he watched over our parents. By faith he watched over our kids. By faith he put food on the table. By faith he put clothes on our back. By faith he's done all these things. By faith he's bringing us out. By faith he has delivered us. By faith he's watched over us. By faith he gives us peace. By faith he gives us joy. By faith he brings us in and out. By faith he watches us going out and coming in. By our faith in him he keeps us. He's our stronghold, our high tower. By faith, the fact that I know he's going to bring. Well, how do I know it? He did it yesterday. He did it last week. He did it last month. He did it last year. He did it 20 years ago. By faith, oh, we developed a little history with God. He is a faithful God. He's a covenant-keeping God. So you got to keep up the shield of faith. You got to keep up the shield of faith. So by faith, God is going to bring us on through. By faith, he's going to bring us on through. Let me say it one more. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. But by faith, he's going to bring us on through. He is a God who is faithful. He is a God who is faithful. Ain't he faithful? Oh, I have two or three witnesses. Ain't he a faithful God? Isn't he a faithful God? He's a faithful God. 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 So just keep up the shield of faith. Keep up your shield. Finally, after I trusted him. 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 He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Oh, you ought to give him a hand clap of praise. You ought to give him a hand clap of praise. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Maybe this is our shield of faith. This is our shield of faith. The cross of Christ. The cross. I'm hiding behind the cross. I'm hiding behind the cross. This is my shield of faith. I'm hiding behind the cross of Christ. I'm hiding behind it. It's been working for 50 some years. So I'm going to keep on hiding behind the cross. Finally, after I've trusted him, you can put your trust in God. You can put your trust in the promises of God. You can put your faith and trust in what he said. If he said it, when he says things like, I would never leave you nor forsake you. When he said, he's like, I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. You can trust that. You can trust that. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. I can't let that go. He's a faithful God. Oh, he's been faithful when I've been faithless. His faith is strong when my faith is weak. The Lord said, that's okay, as long as you got a little faith in me. As long as you got a little bit of faith, mustard seed faith in me, we can get through this thing. I ask you to stand. He's a faithful God. And this is something I can tell you 100% without a doubt.